This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott. Robin Townsend is a graphic designer living in Pennsylvania. She met the woman who would become her wife in the late 2000s through a mutual friend. They bonded over yoga, not just as a form of exercise, but as a lifestyle.
She was vegetarian, mostly. Good sense of humor, very smart, intelligent, funny, vivacious. Those kind of things were attractive at first.
At first. Today on the show, we've been talking all about weddings, but as you may have guessed, this is not a story about happily ever after. But we'll get to that.
Yeah, we got married at the Land's End Inn.
That's the Land's End Inn in Provincetown, Massachusetts.
And it was a beautiful place.
Which is good, because they couldn't get married at home. At that time, the state of Pennsylvania still had a ban against same-sex marriage, which coincidentally was just lifted this week.
It was a lot of layers there, because there was the I'm in love and I have a partner, and yet this is such an exciting time because we're making change.
Now remember back in 2008, President Obama was still against same-sex marriage. The Defense of Marriage Act had yet to be struck down. Prop 8 had just passed in California, and Massachusetts was the only state where gay couples could legally tie the knot. Robin and Holly were not just making vows. They were making history, but history alone does not a marriage make.
I think what's interesting is, like, in hindsight, you kind of look back and you're like, oh, those were kind of red flags, which you didn't really see at first because you're so in love and you have, like, your love goggles on. You can't really see, like, the real truth of the person.
Well, it didn't work out. Whatever the cause, we didn't pursue Holly's side of the story, because this isn't about why they broke up. It's about why, like so many married same-sex couples, Robin and Holly can't get divorced, or couldn't, up until this week.
So when it came to leaving and looking for it, it was kind of, at first, it was freeing and just kind of able to breathe. And then after that, I started to realize, oh, there's no way out. Because when I pick up the phone in Pennsylvania and talk to lawyers, they basically have no idea what to tell me. And then I did call lawyers in Massachusetts and went to the courthouse in Massachusetts. And so I did feel pretty much like a ping pong ball, with going back and forth and back and forth. So here I am, a resident of Pennsylvania all my life. I paid taxes to Pennsylvania all my life. State, federal, you name it, you know. And I can't get a divorce. I don't have the same rights as straight people do.
So we spoke to Robin last week as we were getting ready for this show. And on Monday, she spoke to a lawyer who was helping her navigate the obstacles that were preventing her divorce. And then, incredibly, on Tuesday, Pennsylvania lifted its ban on same-sex marriage, paving the way for gay couples to wed and, consequently, to split. So we thought, I guess that's the end of this story, but it isn't. Same-sex marriage is still banned by either constitutional amendment or state law in 32 other states. So the legal roadblocks that were true in Pennsylvania up until this week are still preventing same-sex couples from getting divorced all over the country. With that in mind, we turn to Tiffany Palmer. She's a Philadelphia attorney who specializes in, among other things, gay rights around adoption, marriage, and more recently, divorce. Hello, Tiffany.
Hi, how are you?
All right, but very interested in this sticky situation. So I'd like to ask you, in terms as plain as possible, why can't Robin get a divorce?
You know, that's a great question. And I think the thing that many same-sex couples and many people just in general don't realize is that while same-sex couples who are residents of Pennsylvania can leave Pennsylvania and get married in any of the 18 states that will provide marriage licenses to same-sex couples, the general rule in almost all states is that you can only get divorced in the state where you reside unless there is some sort of statutory exception in the state where you got your marriage license. And the general rule for all couples is that, you know, while you could, you know, go off to Nevada and get married, and you could go have a destination wedding in California for, you know, straight couples, even Pennsylvania straight couples that marry in those states, they have to get divorced in the state where they reside, and that would be Pennsylvania.
And so the residency requirements, I guess, are part of the challenge here.
That's exactly. Residency requirements are pretty much standard in most divorce statutes. So, you know, for example, in Pennsylvania, you have to be a resident for 6 months in order to file a divorce in Pennsylvania. The real barrier for same-sex couples is that if a couple lives in a state that does not recognize same-sex marriage, they cannot file a divorce in the state where they reside. So that leaves them with trying to figure out, well, where can I get divorced? Well, for couples that married in Massachusetts, Massachusetts does not have a statutory exception that allows non-residents to go back and divorce there. So that means they can't get divorced in Pennsylvania and they can't get divorced in Massachusetts. So that means they can't get divorced unless one of them moves to another state.
Where can they get divorced then? If you say Massachusetts has a statute, is there going to be some, you know, destination like Reno, Nevada, where same-sex couples can get legally divorced?
Currently, there are only a few states that have enacted statutes that say they will retain jurisdiction for a divorce, even for non-residents. Washington, D.C., Delaware, California, there's a few states that are doing this. But a lot of people don't know that, and then they marry in a state that doesn't have one of those statutory exceptions.
But you would have had to get married in one of those states in order to be divorced even elsewhere, huh?
Exactly.
Okay.
In order to divorce as a non-resident, you would have had to marry in one of those states that allows non-residents to come back. So couples that married in a state that does not have a statutory exception, some of the most common ones are Massachusetts and New York. There's so many couples that are going to those two states. But neither of those states has a statutory exception, so that means they cannot divorce in the state where they married, and they cannot divorce in the state where they reside.
So we did hear from Robin. We admittedly got only her side about this relationship. So that's the emotional side. But legally, what is at stake for Robin in this waiting period? Or is there even a waiting period? Is there a goal at the end?
Yeah, it's a very tough situation. You know, we've received calls from hundreds of people in these types of situations. You know, there's a term that's been developed called wedlocked, that these couples are wedlocked. They're married and they can't get out. There's a lot at stake. There is a lot at stake. First of all, a lot of these people have entered into new relationships and they can't marry their new partner. So they can't remarry. One of the biggest things is federal taxation. So now same-sex married couples, even though they're separated, have to file their taxes as married filing jointly or married filing separately, which is a less favorable tax status many times than filing as single.
Right.
So they're financially commingled and stuck with this person.
What then is the solution? Federal legislation? Or will this go away as more and more states legalize gay marriage?
Yeah, there's really no way that this can be addressed through federal legislation because this is all a product of individual state divorce statutes where the federal government has no authority to regulate. So this is only going to change through individual states changing their state DOMAs to recognize same-sex marriage. In the meantime, you know, we are advising clients to actually move to another state, establish residency in order to get divorced. Many of our clients who live in southeastern or eastern Pennsylvania are actually moving to New Jersey, residing there for an entire year, and then they can file their divorce in New Jersey. We have quite a few clients who are pursuing that route.
Wow, that's a pretty dramatic response.
It is.
Is that what you advised Robin Townsend to do? Is she living out of state?
We had talked about that. I do not believe she's, you know, for some people, they're not able to do it. They have jobs. They have other relationships that it's just not necessarily a possibility. But for people that are facing significant barriers to moving on with their lives, sometimes moving is going to be the only option. And it may take less time for them to move, establish residency, and get a divorce than it will take to get potentially full marriage equality in Pennsylvania. Even if our cases that are pending are successful here, there's probably going to be a period of time where there's an appeal that may take a whole nother year.
Is the LGBT community very active or vocal on the issue of gay divorce, or is the focus still gay marriage equality above all?
Well, I think divorce is part of marriage equality. I think the rights and responsibilities that come with marriage become most significant when there is a breakdown or a tragedy. So, death, disability, and dissolution are the three different issues that make your marital status very significant. So I do think it's part of the conversation, although I think it's something a lot of people don't want to think about and talk about. Nobody goes into a marriage thinking that they're going to break up. But the unfortunate reality is that, the divorce rate for heterosexual couples is about 50%, and I imagine it's probably going to be the same for same-sex couples. So half of all these people that are rushing off to get married, their relationships may not last, and they're going to have to be looking at divorce at some point in the future.
Tiffany Palmer, thank you for your time and your explanation.
You're welcome.
Tiffany Palmer is a lawyer in Philadelphia who specializes in legal issues around gay adoption, gay marriage, and now gay divorce. As we mentioned earlier, a Pennsylvania court lifted its ban on same-sex marriage earlier this very week, paving the way for Robin to get a divorce without having to leave the state. Now, Tiffany emailed us and said that she just filed her first divorce case in Bucks County. Still, same-sex couples risk wedlock in 32 other states. There's more on the Pennsylvania ruling and on same-sex divorce in general. All that, wordofmouthradio.org. Well, as we've heard today, the subject of weddings and of marriage in general can be divisive. Between the multi-billion-dollar wedding industry, the expectations of family and friends, and the cultural pressure to conform or the desire to rebel, it's hard to say much about matrimony that everybody can agree with. That's why we decided to end our show today with a perspective that is both intimately connected to the joy and hope of a wedding, yet a little bit of an outsider, the always at arm's length perspective of a longtime wedding photographer. Matt Mendelson is a writer, professional photographer, and a bit of a wedding philosopher, we found. In hopes of better understanding the deeper meaning behind his job, he caught up with a number of old clients to see how they were faring years after the big day. He wrote about the experience for The Washingtonian. I have a friend who was a couples therapist for a long time who said that she could tell pretty much in the first visit whether or not this couple was going to make it. Do you ever speculate about a couple's chances for a lasting marriage when you photograph their wedding?
I think we all do. I think not just the photographer, but every person who is a guest at the wedding is secretly doing the same thing.
Laying odds?
Not as a blood sport, but just sort of in the back of your mind, you wonder. I sort of giggle because I have a lot of Facebook friends who are fellow wedding photographers. And so every Saturday, I see a stream of Facebook posts that say something to the effect of, "So honored to be shooting John and Stacy's wedding today." And I always say to myself, why are you honored? You don't really know them at all. You don't really know your clients, and you don't know whether they're going to be divorced or end up in a DEA drug raid, as one of my clients did, or dying, as some of my clients have done. You're just looking at them, and they come into your studio for an hour or an hour and a half, and you instantly think, now they are my clients. They must all be great, and they must all be destined for a long, wonderful marriage. And It's kind of like shooting the coin flip before a football game and leaving and thinking, I've got enough. Well, that's just the coin flip. The game hasn't actually started yet. And so to make all these assumptions based on a one-hour meeting in your studio and a one-day wedding, you're bound to be wrong.
How about what you produce, though, Matt? You're presenting people with an image of their best self or their projected best self, right? And after reconnecting with these five couples, did you feel like the photographs that you made held more or less importance than you imagined when making them? Or did they play any role at all for the brides or grooms that they captured?
I think people love the pictures that I take, and I love the pictures that I make at their weddings, and I think they're important. I guess what the story was meant to do is to make people realize that you go in, let's say I go into a wedding and I shoot 5,000 frames, and those frames get edited down to 1,500 that the couple will see. And of those 1,500, they might choose 60 for a wedding album. And of those 60, one or two of them actually gets printed out and stuck into a 5x7 frame. That one picture out of that original 5,000 will really be the only one that stands the test of time and that will be handed down over the years and left in an attic box and found by great-grandchildren. So for all of these thousands of pictures we as photographers take, it really becomes one image that will last 100 years or 200 years if we're all lucky. But, you know, I don't know.
Well, on that bittersweet but ultimately authentic note, we conclude today's ceremony. The reception begins right now at wordofmouthradio.org. You can also follow us, send us your feedback, or share your ideas for the program on Facebook and on Twitter. After all, the best wedding stories and lots of other great stuff gets passed around by word of mouth. I'm Virginia Prescott. Join us for more on Saturday at noon, right here on New Hampshire Public Radio.